Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
On today's episode of All the Shit I've Learned Abroad, we're discussing one of the most annoying things that can happen during your travels: canceled flights. Whether a flight is canceled, diverted, or delayed, there's tons of reasons why this might have happened. Some are within an airline's control, but there's others that aren't. So we're going to talk through some of these today so that the next time that this happens to you, and it likely will at some point during your travels, that you can decide if it's worth the energy getting worked up about or not. So let's dive in. Hey, Steph, how's it going?
It's going. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm fighting off the end of this horrible cold.
Okay.
So I don't know if I sound a little bit raspy. Maybe I've got like the sexy raspy voice thing going on. Or maybe I just sound really stuffed up.
Well, let's go with sexy raspy.
Okay. I'll take it. Yeah, I figured, you know what? I'm not even upset about being sick right now because I'm going away in a couple weeks. And I figure if I'm sick now, that means that it's, you know, I'm not sick while I'm away unless I get something else.
Yes.
But let's knock on wood and hope that doesn't happen. But
I appreciate that logic very much this day and age.
That's what I think. I don't know. I mean, I feel like always this time of year, I always get something, whatever it is. But I also got some vaccines done a couple days ago, because I was a little bit out of date on a few of my travel vax. So I do wonder, I'm like, maybe it's because of that. I can't actually remember, like, are there symptoms? Like, you know, when you get everyone had the COVID vaccine and they felt a little bit like flu-y for the next couple days. Do you get that with other vaccines? I don't remember.
Everyone's different. Some people definitely can, but I feel like you're being a little bit of a tease because you've queued up that you've got a big trip coming. You've queued up that you need vaccinations for it. Where are you going?
I'm going to India.
Yes.
So I'm going to India in 2 weeks. For anyone that is or has listened to our recent, what is it, New Year's resolution episode that we do every year, you'll know that we've talked about India. I think we talked about India specifically in that episode. And so I'm going. And it's going to tick off a couple things from my New Year's resolution. Number one, I'm going to see one of the seven wonders of the world.
Yes, you are. Now what would that be?
Well, that's the Taj Mahal, obviously, the Great Wall of China.
I knew that. I did know that.
I'm going to go see the Great Wall of China in India. No, obviously the Taj Mahal. Now, that was actually a New Year's resolution from a couple years ago. So ticking that one off. And then I am I'm going on a tiger safari. So I'm going to do the animal encounter, you know, part of my trip. So I'm really excited to check out the tigers in India, which apparently they're massive.
Well, and I think we should clarify, only because you just said tiger encounter, you're doing a pretty ethical tiger safari.
Yes.
I'm not like they coax the tigers out and make them interact with you kind of thing.
Oh God, no. And I would never do that. I think we've talked about this and probably talk about it in our ethical animal encounter episode from a couple years back, but any encounter with a tiger or a lion where you're able to snuggle up to them, it probably means that they've drugged them. And that's not ethical. So we don't do that on our travels. No, I'm going to be in a national park in India where the tigers, they live there. They're protected, you know, similar to, you know, safaris that you would do like in Africa where you go see the lions and, you know,
yeah,
all those. So, yeah, so I'll be just cruising around in, I don't know if it's a Jeep or what. I have no idea. But apparently we're going to go see the tigers in the wild. So super, super excited.
I'm obsessed with this for you. And I can, India to this day is one of the favorite places I've ever been.
Yeah. I know you've mentioned this. And I, you know, I think I've always said that India has never really been, it's never really been on my bucket list of places, but it's still one of those places where I'm like, I feel like you have to go. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Maybe when I come back, I'll fall in love with it.
Probably. You probably will. I'm excited to sort of get your thoughts once you're back. Much more exciting than I just did 10 days in Sydney.
That's cool, That's though. My Sydney is travels. A cool city. But you've been traveling loads for work and, you know, really tying in that business. What is it? Optimizing on those business trips.
Absolutely. And this was a hack we didn't even mention in that optimizing business travel episode. My client I was doing an event for in Sydney actually had a room block that wasn't fully utilized. So right. I was able to stay in a 5-star hotel for a full 10 days.
Oh, look at you.
I know.
Look at you at these 5-star resorts. I know. Living it up.
I genuinely thought I'd be there during work and then doing not quite the hostel life, but like something cheap in between. And I just got very lucky, to be honest.
That's... Yeah, I mean, I just remember the days us sharing hostel bunk beds with, you know, 25 people in the room. And now you're living it up in 5-star hotels in Sydney. So how far have we come?
I think we have since we even started recording this podcast.
No, we have really leveled up.
Yeah. All that podcast that. Revenue.
Yeah, really. But yeah. Keep listening, guys. Tell all your friends.
All that to say, despite some of, you know, the cool things we're doing and the 5-star things we get to experience, that does not make us immune from flight cancellations, diversions, delays, all of it.
Yeah. That is just a part of traveling that you guys are going to have to... You have to learn to accept. And it's funny you mentioned that because so when I go to India in a couple weeks, I'm flying with BA, mm-hmm. as I always do. I've got my membership with them. So anytime I can fly BA, I obviously will. And last year I flew with them to Greece when I went to Santorini and also flew with them when I went home over Christmas. And twice within the year I had canceled flights with BA, which is not a great track record, but BA was a little bit of a mess last year. There was lots of strikes going on. You know, they were understaffed, and I think a lot of airlines really suffered, but BA was like exceptionally bad.
Yeah. And to be honest,
I still fly with them.
That is Qantas right now, and same thing. I still only book with Qantas because they get you. Once you have that status, they've got you.
Genuinely, I did not think I would ever get sucked into this whole like points with one airline. I always thought I'll fly with whatever's the cheapest. No. I'm on a bronze status right now, almost on silver.
Mm-hmm.
So my loyalty lies with BA. And I'm like, damn it. They really do suck you in.
I know. I'm about to cross into gold with Qantas and there's no turning back now.
I know. That's it. I gotta I'm even looking at some flights just to take. That will give me a few extra points to move. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, God, this is how they do it. But, but it was funny though last year. Like I remember, like when my flight got canceled, specifically the one on the way home to Canada. So it was like the day of my flight was leaving at 5 PM and I was, you know, getting ready. I was all packed, ready to go, thinking like, what time am I going to leave my house to get to the airport? And thankfully I checked on the app. And it just said in big, like, red letters, flight canceled. And I'm like, what? And, like, they didn't even email me or anything. It was just, like, a case of actually going onto the app. And thankfully, I'm so neurotic when it comes to, like, flying and getting to the airport early. And thank God I did. But there's probably people that didn't. But the reason for the cancellation, I didn't even really understand it. It was something like, it was some tech issue. And it was all in the news. Something had happened, but it was one of those where I'm like, is this true? Is this believable? And like, well, you know what I mean?
That's part of what I really want to get into today. Like, we're just going to have a good conversation about, you know, reasons why your flights can be canceled, delayed, diverted. And some of them everyone will already know. There's the obvious ones. But then there's some other more behind the scenes ones, which sometimes they'll explain to you. And then there's definitely reasons that, if you ever encounter it, they're definitely not telling you.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. People, and also people tend to like, they just really, and I get it. It's annoying when flights get canceled. It's more than annoying. It really can put like a dent in your travels. But like, people need to learn to just accept that this shit will happen sometimes. And I think, you know, going through the reasons why it might happen and understanding it, I feel like maybe will help people accept it more. Not if it happens to them, but when it happens. Because again, if you travel, you know, quite regularly, it will happen. You will experience a canceled flight at some point. So with that said,
you actually already touched on one thing I was going to get to later in the episode, but I'll just get it out of the front at the beginning. I don't care where you booked your flight, direct with the airline, on some third-party booking flight. But no matter what airline you're flying on, you get the airline app, so you get those updates. Because even if you book on Expedia or booking.com, you can add your flight reference into there because then you get those notifications. Yeah. And there's other notifications they send that aren't the cancellation or delays that I will touch on later, where you can see the warning signs and make decisions beforehand. But I think let's talk about, and this is my sort of, I don't know if Australians or Europeans so much, this would be the first thing that come to mind. But talking about, you know, the first thing that comes to mind for me, catastrophic flight delays. Like, I think of September 11, I do. And since then especially, airport security is a massive reason that you could have issues. And it's not like I just gave the biggest example in the world, I think.
Yeah.
But here,
that really changed the way that they did security at airports globally after 9/11.
And we had a few issues here in Melbourne. There was actually one in Melbourne and Adelaide the same day where some, I'm just going to say it, dumb tourist walked through a restricted door.
Oh, God.
And then just walked. And I can't remember. I think one left security, realized they were in the wrong spot, then went back in. And then someone else just thought they were taking a shortcut and cut through, so hadn't been checked.
Right.
And because of that, they had to evacuate the entire airport. Even
there
the
was
people
one unchecked. Yeah.
Even the people on the planes on the tarmac. So all the planes had to come back to the gates and unload. Everyone had to go out, and then everyone had to go through security again.
Oh,
and that would be infuriating, especially if you were on the tarmac.
Yeah, and I was going to say, that's one of those things. So if that were me, I'm thinking of it in two ways. I would obviously be annoyed, but I would also be like, well, you know, also if it is a safety concern, I'm glad that they're taking it seriously. But also, why is there a door that someone's able just to go through? Like, that part would piss me off, where it's like, okay, I get that you're evacuating everyone now to make sure that there isn't someone that has gotten into the airport that's, you know, unaccounted for. But how the hell did they get through? Like, how was it that easy to go through a security door? You know what I mean? Like, so I probably would be really pissed off.
Yeah. I can say, having done some event activations in airports,
yeah,
it's surprising how you can.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be, you know, considering like how tight security is. It's like, it should not be that easy for someone just to walk through. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no, I agree completely. And I think, you know, if that's obviously going to be a rare exception when this happens.
Yeah.
It's not obviously the most common, but I think you just have to frame it where a dumb tourist is actually the best case outcome.
Yeah.
Because what's the alternative to that? Like, an actual security threat. So,
yeah.
Annoying as hell, but it happens. It's happened here a few times.
Will they voluntarily give people that information?
So they did that day. So that day, well, but not in the moment. So if your plane's being recalled, they will say from the Australian experience that there's been a security incident, everyone has to be rescreened. And okay. It didn't come out until later what the security incident actually was.
All right. Yeah. It's interesting that, like, I feel like it probably is dependent on the airport, how much information they give you. Yeah. Like, it's even funny. I don't know if funny is the right word, but in London on, like, the tube, mm-hmm. Not that, obviously, not an airport, but you'll get the example I'm sort of comparing. If there's delays to the trains... Mm-hmm. And if there's been an accident, what they actually announce is, you know, trains are delayed because of somebody has fallen on the tracks. Like, they'll be very honest about it. Huh. And it's a bit like you'll stand there. Like, it feels
jarring.
I don't know. Well, it's like, I don't know if them just saying like there's a passenger incident, if that would be. You know, enough information, but the fact that they're saying that someone has fallen on the tracks, I'm like, is this TMI? Like, do we need to know that? But, you know, so it's just the point I'm making that it probably depends on the airport as well. How honest they are about, like, there's a security breach, you know, like, do they say someone has broken through?
Yeah. I'll tell you once I was flying. It was a flight to between Ohio and Toronto. Can't for the life of me remember why I was flying Ohio to Toronto, but my flight. An alarm started going off in the airport saying there's been a security breach. Be prepared to evacuate. And okay. I'm sitting there. And sometimes when you travel a lot, you get very used to different things. And you're like,
yeah,
I'll worry about this if they say evacuate. And I'm texting my mom and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is happening. And she goes, you know what today is, right? This was like September 11th, 2000, like 10 years to the 10 year anniversary of September 11th.
Oh,
and that's so, like, when I was like, oh, God.
But like, then, is someone trying to replicate?
But then my mind went to, like, Ohio. Would Ohio be the target? Probably not. And it wasn't. We didn't evacuate and we got on. So whatever it is, these things happen. They announce it. I think you just have to frame it as it's super inconvenient, but better to be inconvenienced than have a real security issue.
Well, totally. Like, you would rather that it would be... They go through all that trouble and it be nothing versus they don't do anything and, oh shit, you're on a flight with someone unsavory, we'll say.
Yeah.
that got through. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think, yeah, definitely that is one of those cases of annoying, yes, but you just kind of have to roll with the punches. It is what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Another one you have to roll with the punches that is the most obvious that anyone should have thought of, even when they saw the title of this episode, because this can cause your delays, cancellations, and diversions. Mm-hmm. Shit weather. And I don't mean like there's a tornado on the tarmac. That's very easy to understand.
Yeah.
But even like a good example of this recently where I learned is when I was flying from Toronto back to Los Angeles a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm at the airport. I'm checking into my flight to LA. And all of a sudden, the board, the app, everything says I'm going to Colorado. And I'm like,
oh,
my first instinct is, oh my God, did I accidentally book a flight to Colorado? And I check in and the woman's like, well, no, it says for LA, like just head to your gate. Go to the gate. The gate says we're going to Colorado. And everyone at the gate is up in arms. Yeah, our flight was diverted to Colorado. And the reason they eventually took them forever to explain it, which was not ideal, is people were quite unhappy versus explaining it to us from the beginning. So the pilot, they came out and they gave us an education basically on plane petrol and wind. And any plane that takes off essentially only has enough petrol to get to its destination. So they never are flying on, or rarely are flying on full tanks. And this is why sometimes you hear about planes having to circle ahead dumping fuel. Because they can't land if they have too much weight and fuel. So the amount of fuel required to get from Toronto to LA, very predictable. They do it every day, multiple times a day. But the winds were so strong, the plane couldn't actually fly. It would have run out of gas in the air.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
That's scary.
Weird. So the plane had to fly to Colorado to refuel, to get just enough fuel to get to Los Angeles. And... For reference, once it did that, a normally 53-minute flight from Colorado to Los Angeles took 2.5 hours once they refueled. God. That's how windy it was. That was the force the plane was flying against. So
it's almost one of those, like, I guess they didn't cancel the flight in that right. case, but they rerouted it. Now, do you think, I don't know, it's almost like, should they have canceled it and just waited for the weather to like,
oh, we're all so glad they didn't, because I had a connecting, people had connecting flights to Australia. Okay. Like, people, obviously canceling a flight's a big decision. Yeah. I'm sure it's financial. I'm sure the financial repercussions of canceling were worse than, but they'd actually diverted it through Colorado the day before. So it wasn't like a one-off thing. This windstorm was going on all week. So right. they probably can't cancel a week worth of flights.
Yeah. I mean, I guess anything to do with weather, it's sure, it's one of those things, again, that if it's out of their control, it's out of their control.
Right.
And in this situation, they actually are looking to what's the alternative. But I guess there's some cases, like, it's funny because flying out of Canada in a snowstorm versus flying out of the UK in a, and I'm using quotation marks right now, in a snowstorm is very different. Like in the UK, because they don't know how to really handle snow in general, mm-hmm. flights get canceled like left, right, and center as soon as there's a little bit of snow. Whereas a place like Canada, I have flown out while it's been snowing pretty heavily, but it's like, it's oh nothing.
Yeah, you go, the plane gets de-iced because you're covered yeah. in a sheet of ice. Yeah, 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 that's true. Like some people are just equipped for one things, yeah, and you're somewhere else and you think, why don't you just de-ice the plane? And they're like, we don't have that capability. Yeah, so that's where I think it's interesting with weather, because there's things you can see and understand, then there's weather patterns you can't see and understand. And I guess it's one of those things, if they say there's bad weather, you just have to, and you don't see it. Like once the pilot explained it to us, we were like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. Like you would have had a lot less angry people if you told us that at the airport. Like not once we were finally on the plane. Have you ever been canceled for weather?
The only flight I remember getting canceled due to weather was, I mean, I guess, does the volcano eruption count?
Yes, that was actually a test question. Yes,
yeah,
that absolutely does.
When we were in Dublin, because I'm like, I mean,
the ash
that's
cloud,
not a common occurrence, but I'm like, is an ash cloud considered weather, or that was, or was natural that a natural disaster? And is that the same thing? I don't actually know.
I think the point still stands because, you know, people were like, oh my God, what does the sky look like? Because they were envisioning this, you know, sci-fi movie where the cloud was full and gray. And it was perfectly clear because we couldn't actually see the ash. It was so high up. Yeah.
All, I mean, that was all flights within Europe were grounded for like a week. Yeah. That was wild. But yeah, I'm trying to think outside of that. I don't, you know, I feel like I've been actually very lucky when it comes to canceled flights. Really, the only flights that have been canceled on me have been, I think, the two in the last year. There must have been more. Maybe I don't remember. I think once in Australia, when my sister and I were there, there was a flight that was one of our sort of domestic flights got canceled due to weather. And that one was very confusing because we were in, I think it was Sydney. And like Sydney is, let's be honest, 99% of the time, clear skies.
Yeah.
Like
gorgeous.
And gorgeous weather. And they blamed it on weather, but weren't specific about it. And I think it was just one of those small domestic airlines that just canceled the flight because of whatever reason. And they used weather as an excuse.
Oh.
And also didn't tell us, like, they didn't notify us until we got to the airport. And we were like, what are you talking about? It was like 34 degrees. Super sunny. We're like, what weather? Like, and I think we were only flying to, we weren't even flying that far. So it's not like the weather could have been that different. So yeah, I think it was just,
oh, I believe they do that here 100%. I had a flight, and there's some good points in this one, but I had a flight from Sydney to Melbourne once, and they same thing, canceled it, said it was due to the weather, fit us on like, or they diverted it, sorry. So they diverted our flight from Melbourne Airport into Avalon Airport.
Uh-huh.
And we were all like, this is weird. And they said it was weather, but every other flight from Sydney to Melbourne and on every other airline was still flying. So we were like, huh? But But like I said, I'm sure there's things they don't tell you that happen behind the scenes. But what was so interesting is, so Avalon Airport, it's about an hour kind of, it's more west of airport, or it's more west of Melbourne, whereas Melbourne Airport is north, and it's about an hour away from the two airports. And so we landed there, which was fine for me because I was getting picked up. So I just called and said, hey, there were people who had their cars parked at Melbourne Airport, who had, you know, people waiting for them there. And they were all like, how am I supposed to get to my car now? And everyone was like, well, you'll have to take an Uber or find your own way. And people were mad at the airline, obviously. And the airline was like, well, just, you know, save your receipts. Your travel insurance will absolutely reimburse you for these situations. And I just thought it was so funny because so many people do not have travel insurance for domestic flights. Like, they think of it going internationally.
But that's a good point.
Absolutely. Yeah. You should always have travel insurance policy that covers domestic as well.
Can I tell you something funny but also not funny?
What?
Now that you've mentioned travel insurance.
Oh,
and
no.
You and I, we preach about it so much.
Yes, we do.
I found out last week that I actually did not have a travel insurance policy in place for the entire year of 2022.
What? How?
The insurance policy that I had taken out in 2021, actually, no, I took it out in 2020 or before that, and it used to auto renew, which in general, you should always like look at the plan and make sure nothing's changed, whatever. Like you should look at new plans every year. But anyways, I didn't. And it didn't auto renew.
Oh my God.
Last year. And I thought that it did. And so I was looking for something. I think I was like, this year was like, all right, I'll look at new plans because I should. And I was like trying to find my insurance policy number for last year. It would have gone up to March this year. And I checked, and all I had was emails from the year before saying like, your policy is about to lapse, like, you know.
Oh my God. So they were telling you.
Yeah, but I just didn't read the email.
You assumed it was a renewal email.
Well, I just, yeah. And I get so many, yes, you know, emails from whatever, like my inbox, I have like 600 unread emails. Like I just assumed it was,
you're one of those
a marketing
people.
Email.
Yeah.
Don't give me a break. You lose emails all the time, so don't even. You're one of those people. You can't even find emails half of the time that I send you like the day before. So let's not go there. But yeah, so I let it lapse. And so I traveled all of last year without any insurance.
Well, thank goodness nothing happened.
I know. Granted, I say this, I think I might be insured through work anyways. Like, I think my company has a travel insurance policy even for personal travel. So I think I would have been covered, but I don't know exactly what would have been covered on that policy. So yeah, not good.
I'll make a confession as well, only because you did. I realized when I got back from my friend's wedding in Canada, short trip, went home, got the travel insurance, obviously. But because I fly, the way I do it, how I always fly into LA first, stay a night, so it's less stress, it's not a long trip, and then fly on the next day, I wasn't insured for the night in Los Angeles on each side of the trip.
Oh, so you're not perfect either.
I was like, which is genuinely the worst place to not be insured.
Like, yeah, I was gonna say,
yeah, so
if anything would happen in the US, like that is, I feel like that is the one country that you
I would not have bought a house. Yeah, my house would not be happening.
You would God, you see some of the bills, like what it costs to like have a baby in the US is obscene. Like,
well, and that's why I think, especially for people, if you ever do travel in and out of the States, the annual travel insurance policy is so much more economical, because to buy individual one-off trips, if you're going into the States, usually one trip to the States is more expensive than an annual policy.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the reason I moved to an annual policy like a few years ago, because I went on a trip. I think I went to New York or something. It was in the US, and I think it cost me for that trip, being there for a week, it was like, I want to say like £60 or something for just being insured for that week. An annual policy costs, 110, and that covers around the world, including the U.S. And obviously, it's more than 60 pounds. But I'm like, yeah, but then that means I don't have to take out individual policies for all the trips I take in between. I guess it is, you know, directed for to people that do travel more. Like there are people that maybe only go away once or twice in the year, but.
But I think even if you only go away once or twice, it's still worth investigating. But
yeah. definitely. It's just and then always check if it has an auto renew on it, because I assumed mine did because it did the years before. But I feel like maybe after COVID or something, maybe they stopped doing it anyway. So thank God nothing happened last year.
Yes.
I am insured though for this year. I took out a new policy like a month ago. So I'm good for India and I'm good for all the other stuff I have coming up.
Good. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Jumping back into cancellations. Mm-hmm. So this is a big one. And this is what I was touching on with the app earlier, why you should always have it. So I've been flying Melbourne to Sydney quite a bit lately, twice now. My last two trips to Sydney, midday, the day I was flying back, I booked the last flight out of Sydney back to Melbourne. The Qantas app has sent me a notification being like, want to fly earlier? Change your flight now for no change fee or no anything, da 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 da. And the first time I got it, I'm like, what the hell is this? And then it dawned on me.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
They were looking, there weren't enough people on the last flight of the day. So they want to cancel it because they don't want to fly a plane that there's not enough people that are even paying for the cost of running that plane.
No, so it doesn't make sense.
My first thought when once it hit me, I read it a few times and it was confused why they were doing it. And once it hit me, I'm like, oh my God, get on an earlier flight. Because if you don't and they cancel it, then you're going to be overnight there.
Yeah.
So that's another good reason to always have the airline app. Because if you booked on third party and didn't have it linked to the app, you would have never got that notification.
Yeah. Well, also bear in mind, though, some of these apps are a bit shit and they don't always send push notifications. So like the BA app does not. So you have to voluntarily go into the app to sometimes find these updates.
Yeah. I mean, obviously every airline's going to be different. Their apps are going to be different. But I mean, some airlines are setting the standards and other ones are just going to be catching up. So,
oh yeah, yeah. No, I'm just in general. Yes, for sure. Have the app, but it's also don't assume that you'll get a notification. Like you have to, as somebody that works in the app space, I can tell you a lot of these apps are, they need better app developers that can actually like build out.
Yeah.
Some airlines have a good app and other ones I'm like, who built this? Like, you need someone better.
I believe it. I just think on a lot of these frequent trips where flights are every hour on the hour, they have no qualms about canceling one of the undersold flights and putting you on before and after. So I think that's just always something to be weary of, conscious of. And I mean, it should be pretty easy to be flexible with that, though. I mean, if you can be on the flight the next hour, I don't think that's worth complaining about.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I think even when my flight got canceled to Toronto over Christmas. So, yeah, sure, it was inconvenient. But they literally sent me a message saying, like, just rebook the next day, mm-hmm. which I did. So I'm like, okay, fine. I'm losing a day. But when I actually looked at, you know, I'm like, I have nothing to do tomorrow. Like, it's not like I have to be there tomorrow. But I still had people being like, oh, you should see if they owe you compensation for this and this and this. And I'm like, they don't. Like, they just rebooked me on the same flight the next day, the same class. I was flying business. Mm-hmm. They rebooked me on business. So I'm like, there's nothing for me to go back and complain to them about. And also I'm like, these airlines, like, you want to spend your time waiting on hold just to speak to someone that's going to tell you, like, we didn't, like, yeah, we canceled the flight, but we rebooked you. We don't owe you anything. Like, the juice isn't worth the squeeze sometimes. I don't want to argue with a customer service person from an airline for yeah. something that they probably don't owe me.
This is one of those things I think that varies country to country too. So people, a lot yeah. of times their natural inclination is to say, oh my God, they owe you for that. And it's like, do they? Because I've learned yeah. a lot of times they don't, and you can claim it on travel insurance.
Yeah.
The only times I've heard where they actually have to reimburse you is A, if they bumped you down. So if you paid for a business first class ticket and you're an economy, they have to reimburse you what the difference would have been. Well,
yeah, that's, of course. Yeah. That's not really a canceled flight, though. That's just where they...
No. I'm just talking about, like, situations where I know they do have to reimburse for things.
Yeah.
Another one is if it was something within their control. So obviously yeah. flights get canceled and delayed a lot of times for mechanical issues.
Right.
Or staffing issues. Those are two of them. So if their plane had a maintenance issue or understaffed, they might have to put you up in a hotel, but that's also yeah. voucher based.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? Oh, just if they oversell the flight and they bump you from it. Yeah. But they're very upfront about what they'll give you. So if they yeah, say this flight's oversold, we'll offer you a free hotel for tonight and $300.
Yeah, like, but that's, again, not, you know, necessary. That's not even a canceled flight. That's them yeah. not giving you the service that you paid for.
Yeah.
But I think on the point of canceled flights, like you said, if it's something in their control, and I think, you know, last year, again, I mentioned BA just because they were an absolute mess last year because there was a lot of strikes happening in yeah. the UK with airline staff. And then BA specifically, I think they hadn't hired back enough staff after COVID. And it was just an absolute mess. And they were canceling flights left, right, and center. And they actually, like, people whose flights were canceled, they like, legally, because there is, I think, within, like, the EU, they've got their yeah. own sort of rules and laws when it comes to flight cancellations and what customers are owed. And in this scenario, because it was within BA's control that they were understaffed, I think the technical issue that happened in December was also something that fell within their control because it was their computer system that broke. Mm-hmm. So in these scenarios, they did owe people money in, again, certain situations where, say, they couldn't get rebooked or something. Like, again, an airline will always, if they can rebook you, like, the next day, in that situation, they won't, most of the time anyways, they don't owe you anything back. Like, yeah. you're getting the same service just on a different day. But BA was canceling loads of flights, like, last year, where people weren't getting rebooked. They were just saying, canceled, we'll refund you, and you can take it up with, I don't know how it works. It's through, like, if you want to be compensated, you have to file
yeah. through
whatever. Which, again, some people, if it's like, if it's only worth, like, if I'm only getting like $100 back or £100, like, hey, is it worth going through it? But yeah, it depends.
That's a lot of money to some people. Yeah.
Well, so I think you can get up to like $300 in some situations. It ultimately depends. Yeah. It's very situational based, like you said. And it's not always the case. I think everybody always assumes flight gets canceled, airline owes me money. And it's like, yeah. no, it doesn't work that way.
I know there's three regions and I forget the third one, but I know it's the EU, Indonesia, and somewhere else where they actually do have very clear guidelines on compensation yeah. where countries like Australia, it's just so ambiguous. You'll almost never get anything. I remember, yeah. I'll just tell a funny story. When I was in the Dominican Republic and my flight got canceled delayed, I put in quotes.
Yeah.
All the Air Canada workers had been striking. The government had ordered them back to work so didn't allow them to undertake strike action. So coincidentally, one day, every pilot out of Montreal called in sick. And my flight from the Dominican was connecting to Montreal that night or that morning. So obviously my flight was canceled. They rescheduled it for a flight that evening. And I ended up missing the flight. I've probably told the story. So missed the flight. Me and two other friends missed the flight. I wrote a letter later trying to say, you know, I was at the shuttle in the morning and with the flight delays and transportation to the airport later in the afternoon and the time it took, like I missed the flight. I was trying to see if they'd give me anything. They basically, I got a letter in response that was like, we have investigated your complaint and found that every single person on the plane other than you and your two friends made their flight and the shuttle. Everyone was on the shuttle except for you. And I was like, fair, but I had to try.
I mean, you don't ask, don't get, right?
Yeah. But I just thought, you know what? They did. It was like the pilots called in sick. It was a cluster of issues that weren't my fault. But ultimately, they were like, you can go stuff it, Miss.
Yeah. Stuffy. They'll try anything not to obviously give anything away. Yeah. This kind of reminds me of I had a flight between, I was in New York flying to Toronto, and it was an evening flight and it was delayed. I remember getting to the airport in New York and it said my flight was delayed by an hour. And I'm like, that's annoying. And then once it got to that hour, then it was delayed another hour. And I'm like, okay, where are we going with this?
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
And then the hour went, like that hour went. So now we're 2 hours delayed. And then it said it was delayed another hour. And I was like, this is crazy. And at this point, it's getting into like, you know, it's like 9 p.m. at this point.
Yeah.
Thankfully, a friend of mine, thank God, I was messaging her. She was in a friend of mine in Canada. She had some lounge passes that she hadn't used. And she's like, let me send these to you in an email and see if you can use them. And I could. So thankfully, I sat in the Air Canada lounge because I was flying with Air Canada. Anyway, so thankfully, I had somewhere I could sit and just like eat and drink. Drink a lot of free wine. It was lovely. But anyway, so as this continues going on, the flight gets delayed another hour, another hour, another hour. And I'm like, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
They're going to keep delaying this. They're going to keep delaying it to the point like, what is it again? Where it's not canceled. It's not officially canceled. And they do this as a tactic because if they cancel it, like straight away, then I think they have to give you like the hotel vouchers. I can't remember how it works, but it's a tactic that they do, isn't it?
To keep pushing it back? I don't think so. So I think usually, because the thing is, the airlines, they want to get you in the air. Like there's never any benefit to them not having you in the air. But as it gets later, what happens is, you know, say you have a mechanical issue that delays you 2 to 3 hours. Then the plane is ready to fly. Well, at that point, and this is a very common reason that we often don't have visibility to, the crew are all past their hours for that day. They've already flown too much. So they're trying to find a new crew, a full plane crew, to come in to keep the plane. So the plane now can fly, but they don't have anyone to staff it, to staff the plane.
So I think this is what happened in this situation. And there was another flight that had come in. I think it was an Air Canada flight. And I think the pilot and the crew that was on that one, they had to like go in and ask them like, hey, would you guys be willing to do one more flight back to Toronto? And they agreed.
Oh, lucky.
And so they flew us back. Yeah. And they were like, I think could still, because of course they have rules, like you said, in place of how long pilots can fly and, you know, how long like airline staff can work, like any, you know, employment rules and laws.
Yeah.
So they ended up flying us back and we were all just like, thank God. We were so nice to the crew and they were lovely because we had been sitting in the airport for like 6 hours at this point. And so they were about to, like, I think they were about to cancel the flight altogether after being delayed for, that's even like, that's the worst part when you've been delayed 6 hours and then it's canceled.
I've had that happen. So I was on it was like a 4 p.m. flight from Washington, D.C. to Toronto, which is just like an hour flight and up down. And it was exactly that, delayed an hour, delayed an hour, delayed an hour. And then finally it hit the point where they didn't have staff and they were trying to get staff. And because I was flying into Billy Bishop, not Toronto Airport, they actually have a cutoff time. I think it's 10 or 11 p.m. where planes can't fly in after that because it's in the middle of a city. So yeah, our flight got canceled. And I think this is probably one of the most infuriating ones because people's thoughts are, why didn't you just cancel it at 4 o'clock?
Yeah, exactly.
I could have had a day in the city. I could have gone home and slept or gone somewhere. Like, why didn't you? And usually it's because by the time they fixed one issue, there was a new issue.
Yeah.
And that's one where I'd always recommend even just looking, I don't know, like, because a lot of times they have vouchers you can use within the airport too, whether it's like $10, $15, $20 vouchers I've gotten. So if you need to eat or something. So it's always worth asking. But I think that's one of the most infuriating ones.
Oh, for sure. And yeah. I remember, I think they did, they gave us vouchers for this, like at this desk or whatever, because we were delayed over a certain time. But at that point, because it was like 11 p.m., everything closed in the airport.
Yeah.
So people were like, where are we supposed to even use this $10 voucher you've given us? Like, it was really badly, just the whole thing was a mess. And thankfully, so we did get back. I remember getting to Toronto at 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to land. My original flight was supposed to land at like 9 or something. And I remember for all of this, so technically, yeah, the flight wasn't canceled, but they sent, you know, obviously, we were like, we should be reimbursed for something. And I got a 10% voucher, 10% off voucher from Air Canada, like a few weeks later, where they're like, oh, we apologize for this. And the voucher had to be used within like the next 2 months. And I'm like, thanks so much, Air Canada.
Like, to be fair, though, that's what I was trying to go for when I wrote the letter about the Montreal pilots. I didn't even get that.
Yeah, but it's one of those where they're like, here's a voucher. Now you have to book with us. Like, you know, yeah, where know. They're like, you're going
like,
to,
you're and profiting off your gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because especially when they put an expiry date on it. And yeah. Like in the next 2 months, so you basically, this is a sales tactic for them where they're like, here's a voucher, spend with us in the next 2 months. I'm like, I probably wouldn't have anyway. So, you know, I'm not going to use this voucher. You're making yourself, you know, look like you've done something good here. And if I do use it, it's more money in your pocket. So screw you. So I obviously
we should
didn't
just
use
call
the
this
voucher.
Episode Screw You, Air Canada.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. And then I think, so talking just about staffing and like how they can't work so long, another yeah. reason, and this is one they would never tell you. So if this ever happens to anyone, you'll never have visibility to it unless it's in the news. If a pilot shows up and is deemed unfit to fly, whether that's
scandalous.
And I think there's a really good Denzel Washington movie about it where, like, if you're a pilot, you can't even have a drink the night before. There's
snakes
that
on a plane.
I haven't seen that one.
I haven't either. Was that even Denzel Washington? Samuel L. Jackson, I think. I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane. That's all I know.
Yeah, definitely pilot unfit to fly.
Because there's snake. We haven't even talked about snakes on a plane. If there's snakes on a plane, also probably will get canceled.
Yeah. But yeah, unfit to fly now can also be like if the pilot's appears to be suffering like a mental break.
Haven't slept enough, like sleep deprived.
Exactly. So, and that's when, again, they'll never tell you.
I mean, I wonder how, like, we should have asked. We actually did an episode where we had my friend Sean on, who is a pilot for a major airline. And I wonder if, I won't say which one. But I wonder if, like, when a pilot shows up, we should have asked him this, like, do they do any, like, not tests, but, like, who decides a pilot is unfit to fly? Like,
I imagine it's one of those things where if there's just warning signs.
Okay.
Yeah. I imagine
if they look a little bit drunk.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. But great question. We should actually ask a pilot that. Like, because you hear how big a deal it is for them to have a drink the night before, but how would you know if they had one drink?
Well, how would anyone know if your Uber driver has had a drink that day or the night before? Like,
you should implement a policy for Uber.
I don't know. Like, do they, I don't know. Maybe planes and Ubers need, like, maybe they all need the breathalyzers before they can start up, you know, and like people that have had like drunk driving. Incidences where they in their cars to start them up, they have to blow into a breathalyzer. Maybe they need those on all planes, all taxis,
maybe
trains. I don't know. I'm just looking into the future.
Okay. Speaking of computerizing the devices or whatever the right word is there.
Yeah.
And you touched on this with BA also is, And I don't think they'd ever admit this either. But when they talk about glitches or, you know, they talk about glitches in the system. But I mean, when their systems have actually been hacked.
You know, that I think they do, though.
By foreign interference. I've never seen them admit their systems were hacked.
It's been in the news here. I think BA, if I look it up now, I'm certain there was like a whole hacking thing.
Let me see. Yeah, that's one I'd have to see it to believe it, because you hear them talk about glitches. You hear them talk about system errors, server errors. There's so many things that could be legitimate or code for hackers have hacked our system.
Yeah, I mean, it says, I think they have to be honest about that, though, because if you are a consumer, yes, because if your data has been breached, and again, this
data breach is different from hacking. They can hack systems and bring them down with no data breaches.
So yeah, I'm looking here. British Airways, they had an attack that affected their bookings, so that's different, with credit card details of around 380,000 total customers being compromised.
Yeah.
But that's not to say they couldn't, I don't know, if they're hacking into, I'm trying to remember what happened.
I don't even mean hacking into the airline, but more so hacking into like the flight center, the, what's it called when they're out in the, like air traffic control. Those kind of things.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stories, like, I don't know if you've watched on Netflix. They've got that documentary now, but the Malaysian
airplane that
went missing. And that whole, like, obviously they still don't know what happened, but it's all, if anyone watches it, they basically take you through, like, scenarios, what they think could have happened.
Yeah.
And there's the whole thing about, there's one of them, you know, where there's, like, two hackers on the plane that somehow get into the computer system from, like, underneath. And they're able to infiltrate the system and completely switch the direction of like where the plane is going. That kind of stuff, I don't know, like, it's never really like, would they ever admit that? I guess if it's a missing plane in that situation, they would have to admit like, yeah, this happened.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
I just know there's been definitely big businesses, like global businesses, global healthcare systems that have been hacked, and they always use server error. There's an excuse, because there's just a public safety threat or fear if people know that there is foreign interference happening. So I do not believe they'd ever tell us if like the actual, like, I know hospitals have a backup plan where they can actually switch to a paper system. And I know of a hospital system where they were hacked into and their whole system was taken down by hackers. And for 2 days they operated by paper. But I think
I'm just reading, so as I googled the BA thing, so from the flights that got canceled back in December, so it was basically all, it was short haul, this is maybe different, but basically it was like transatlantic flights, and it's saying here that, you know, British Airways, they confirmed it was not a cyber attack, so it was like an internal glitch. But it's interesting though, right? Because if they, well, I don't know, if it was an internal glitch, they're more at fault than, say, if it was a cyber attack, no?
I know. Now we're getting deep.
You know what I mean? Like, well, but it's true. Like, if it's a glitch in their system, and they're whoever it is that's supposed to maintain the system, whether it's an IT guy, or if they screwed up on someone they employed, aren't they more at fault than, say, and granted, yes, you know, they should have safety measures in place where they can't be hacked, but it does happen. There are some very smart hackers out there.
Yeah.
Aren't they more responsible for something that they are in control of than a cyber attack? I don't know. I'm just thinking of it from that way, where it's like, maybe they should be like, yeah, someone hacked your system. Shit. Sorry. Like, it was out of our control.
Well, I think with the airways, like the actual airlines, though, their concern is data breaches, whereas the security threats would actually be the airports.
Right? Yeah, true.
Like the systems. Yeah. We've gotten off track. We've gone down. This is how easy it is to go down like a little.
We have, but I feel like these are all interesting kind of discussion points around it, where I'm like, I don't know what happened. I don't work. We should maybe work for an airline and an airport. And
I was just thinking about that yesterday.
Inside scoop.
I love that your reasoning for the podcast was for the podcast, whereas mine yesterday was like, oh, I'm never going to get an upgrade. Like, I just need to get a part-time job with Qantas so I can get upgrades. So that was my frustration yesterday.
I mean, do people that work at the airlines, do they even get the upgrades anymore? Yes. They actually do?
Yeah. Yeah. A family member of mine works for British Airways and flies back to Australia first class every time. And posts all the photos. And I'm like, I'm jealous.
Why do I not know your family member?
He doesn't want to work for them anymore, but he doesn't want to give up the perks.
Well, maybe I can meet this family member because I fly with BA all the time. Maybe they can get me upgrades.
I will make this intro.
How have you not done this already? Jeez.
Well, I mean, he is in a long-term relationship, but you never know. Okay, and then we've come to, and this is going to be a very easy one to understand, but I think how you handle it.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that. So obviously, medical incident on the plane. So you're midair, someone suffers a medical emergency, the plane has to land. Very evident, clear, easy to understand reason for landing. This was actually part of the inspiration for this episode because I had a girlfriend this happened to recently and they landed. This was coming back from North America to Australia in Hawaii. They had to divert to Hawaii. And they said, you know, we're going to be here for a few hours. They had to figure out what staffing, all those issues we've talked about in this episode look like. Mm-hmm. And then she didn't leave the airport because she thought, oh, you know, if it's only going to be a few hours, I don't want to go. But she'd never been to Hawaii. She said tons of other passengers on the plane went out and explored the island. And then the flight that night got canceled. They all had to stay in Hawaii. And she's like, I spent the whole day in the airport in Hawaii. And then went to a hotel and then left the next day. I'm like, that's shit.
She should have left.
I know. I wanted to end on this. So a lot of cancellations and diversions are shit. But sometimes if there's an opportunity in it, you have to take the opportunity.
Always find the silver linings in things like this, if you can, if they actually exist.
Yeah.
And like something like a medical, obviously, like if anyone gets angry about a flight being canceled because of a medical emergency in the air or whatever, you're an idiot. Like, yeah. You're actually to get angry over that.
Yeah,
you're
get over idiot. Yourself.
Yeah.
And that's where if you divert in Hawaii, go spend the day in Hawaii.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, yeah.
Make the most of it. That's like when we, you know, our flights were canceled. We were stuck in Dublin. We're like, we're in Dublin.
Yeah.
Like, let's do this. Let's have a good time. And we
did it.
Did.
We did.
We really did. Yeah. So there's definitely worse places to be stuck or grounded from a canceled flight. So yeah, amazing. Is that the list?
That was the summation of the list. So I think, you know, obviously there's things we didn't go into talk about, like a pandemic. We all know.
Yeah.
We don't need to tell anyone.
We all know that flights get canceled because of a global pandemic. I think we're all pretty aware of that one.
And I think the only other one we really didn't talk about, which everyone gets, is mechanical issues with the plane. What are you going to do? You want the plane to be safe.
Yeah. Like, okay, you're going to be angry that your flight's canceled because the phalange is missing. Steph, I just want to reiterate, Steph does not watch Friends. So that quote is totally lost on her.
I know. I was like, okay. My plane, when I was taking off in Colorado, we started taxiing down the runway, started accelerating to speed up. And then stopped. And we were like, everyone was like, what the fuck? Like, we've been here for hours. And the pilot came on. He's like, sorry, folks. We just have to turn around. The engineers who came on to clear us left some paperwork on the plane. And they had to turn around because the engineers need that paperwork for you to safely fly.
I mean, that's annoying. But also not a canceled flight anyways.
No, we were getting off. And we were just so happy to finally be leaving. My 4.5-hour flight Toronto to LA took over 9 hours.
Yikes.
Yeah. I mean, lots of reasons your flights can be canceled, diverted, delayed.
I think, you know, from what we can take away from this, as for canceled flights, yes, it's annoying, but it's not the end of the world. I feel like people look at a canceled flight and think it is like one of the worst things that can happen. And while it is inconvenient, it's very inconvenient, but like, don't let it tear you up inside. Cause like, I have seen people get absolutely furious.
Yes.
And I'm like, is the energy worth it? Like, it's a canceled flight. You'll get on another one.
Yeah.
I get like sometimes, okay, canceled flights, say you got to be, you know, somewhere very important the next day. But also that's why you give yourself some wiggle room. You don't book a flight the day before your friend's wedding.
Yeah.
You give yourself a few days, you know, you don't book a flight the day before something really important. you have to have a plan in place if something were to happen, if something were to get canceled, especially in the day and age we are in. I feel like flights do get canceled more often than they used to because of things like pandemic, because of, you know, lots of airline workers are going on strike because they're overworked, understaffed.
I think the most stressed out people I always see are the people who have kids that they're getting home to. So they're canceled flight. And it's just, even in that situation, like, your kids aren't going to end up alone that night. You know, right? You're not abandoning them. You've got family. Like, well, you call in the troops to help you out. Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully. But
we say this, we don't have children though, so no, I don't know what it's like.
But I've seen it a lot, but like, because the natural reaction is to get stressed out and overworked before you solve it, when you could just solve it without that.
It is just one of those things, I think, just in general. It is like like you said, your natural reaction is to be stressed and annoyed and fine, like, feel it for a minute and then be like, all right, well, how
time
can
to sort
I
sort this
like,
out?
Like, let's sort it out. Let's work on a solution.
To your point, takeaways, find the silver linings.
Yeah.
Have the travel insurance.
Yes. Take it from me, guys. Have the travel insurance.
And I always say, it's funny because you said a few times in this episode, is it worth the struggle? But I always say it's worth a shot. Let's see if you can get anything out of it.
Yeah. You and I differ, I think, a little bit there.
We do.
I always ask myself in these situations, is the juice worth the squeeze? And to me, sometimes it's not.
Fair.
We want to hear from everyone here. Like, have you guys experienced missed flights? What was the reason? Or are there any like really obscure reasons that maybe like we didn't cover today? Would love to hear about other people's experiences.
Or give us a shout in real time while it's happening to you.
Yes.
All right. Until next time.
See you guys.
All the Shit I've Learned Abroad is a travel podcast focused on anything and everything related to travel. You can listen to us on multiple platforms, from iTunes to Google Play Music and more. And with that, please, if you have a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That drives us up the charts and really, really helps us out. Want to support us on Patreon? Find us over at Shit I've Learned Abroad Pod, and donations start as low as just $1. Also, if you could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit Abroad Pod, and Facebook by searching All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. Thanks so much for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.